Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church, another day where we get to praise our God for His grace. And this is the season of Epiphany still. This is the seventh Sunday after Epiphany. So now this is like the seventh or eighth Sunday. When we've been talking about Christ's glory and how He revealed that to us, and part of that, part of what He revealed is also His love and just how far His love would go. It's a love that goes so far that He asks us even to love our enemies. Look out. And yet we know that by God's grace, we have gone from enemies to part of His family. So that's what we're going to celebrate today. You'll see that reflected throughout the service. And to get us going today, to get us started for worship, is the Sunday school to sing us a song about God's love and how we can love back. God bless your worship this morning. Continue with worship, our welcome on the bottom of page 3. This is the day the Lord has made. Let the people praise you, O God. I didn't give her enough time. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, teach us your ways,
that we may walk in your truth.
Guide our steps by the light of your word.
Shield us from harm and keep us from evil.
Let us confess our sins. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. And in your faithfulness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by the sins that trouble me and deeply sorry for them. Jesus says to his people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this?
Yes, I believe.
Because of the promise of our Savior Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. Be assured that you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life.
O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you answered me. I thank you for the love you have shown me in Jesus Christ, my Savior. Through him you have rescued me from the guilt of my sin and given me the peace of forgiveness. Help me fight against temptation, correct whatever wrongs I can, and serve you and those around me with love and good works. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, keep your family, the church, always faithful to you, that we may lean on the hope of your promises and be strong in the power of your love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Now we go to God's Word, where we can really reflect on the fact that God asks us to love our enemies. And the first lesson is a good one for that, a good example, from Genesis chapter 45. This will also serve as our sermon text for today. from Genesis 45. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God." And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him. The word of the Lord. A response to God's word based on Psalm 103. I will hear what the Lord proclaims, peace to his people.
Praise the Lord, my soul.
He forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
He redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with love and compassion.
The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love.
He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
I will hear what the Lord proclaims.
Peace to his people.
Second lesson comes from Romans chapter 12, where we get an encouragement from Paul. Now keep in mind that encouragement, especially toward the end, instead of returning evil upon evil, we can do something else. Romans chapter 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord. A response to God's word. I will hear what the Lord proclaims, peace to his people.
The Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust.
Our days are like grass, like a flower of the field, like wind blows over it and it is gone.
But the Lord's love is with those who fear him, from everlasting to everlasting.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen. I will hear what the Lord proclaims.
Peace to his people.
Please stand in honor of Jesus' words. We go to Jesus' words for the gospel lesson today from Luke chapter 6. Here Jesus really kind of turns things upside down for the world, really helps us understand our role and because of what God has done for us. Luke chapter 6. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, What credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated, and if there are any children in the congregation who want to come forward for a children's message, you can meet me at the front step. I'm going to sit up here again today. You guys want to turn around and check it out? There we go. I'm going to need a volunteer today. Come on up, Aaliyah. Aaliyah, I have chosen you for something very special. Why don't you sit on down? I have here some gummy bears. See those gummy bears I have? These are my gummy bears. But I'm going to share them with you. Okay, ready? There, now you have gummy bears. Now I'm going to need another volunteer. Eden, come on up and take a seat. Leah, I want you to share your gummy bears with Eden. Well, that was very nice of you. You gave all of your gummy bears to Eden? Well, why would you do that? Yeah, it was kind of like you were following my lead, huh? You saw how much I gave to you, and you gave to her. You know, that's how it works with God, too. God gives us so much. He forgives all our sins and gives us all His grace. Guess what we get to do for others? Do the same. We get to give them that grace. How cool is that? The thing is, though, that can be really hard. If Eden was your enemy, would you be tempted to, I don't know, give her all of your grace? You might want to hold it back and maybe not give all of it. See, that can be difficult for us to do. But then that's when we remember the example of our Father and what He's done for us, because we know that He's not really limited with His grace, is He? No, God fills up our cups till overflowing. A good measure shaken, patted down, pouring over. That's how much God gives to us. Now you get to do the same. Give it to Eden. There you go. Come back. Even more. Oh, no, there's more where that comes from. There you go. All of that grace. We know that God is not limited, so are we to be limited? No, God fills our cup right back up with His grace, so that's what we share. That can be difficult to do, though. So let's say a prayer asking for His help. Let's say a prayer. Father in heaven, we praise You and thank You for forgiving us our sins. Lord, forgive us for the times when we don't forgive those who sin against us, especially, Lord, when they're our enemies. Guide us to remember that we were once Your enemies as well, but you have filled us up with your grace. Help us to do that with the others. We ask everything in our Savior Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can keep those, if it's okay with your parents. But if you wanted, you could also share them as well. Okay. And you guys can see me after service if you would like some too. We'll continue with our hymn of the day, hymn 492. 492. God's grace has been poured into your heart, brothers and sisters. Amen. Sermon text for today comes from the first lesson, Genesis chapter 45. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your forgiveness. Amen. I hate you. You wronged me. You were evil. You were selfish. You ruined my life. You made my life into a living nightmare. Now you deserve to be punished and to rot. And I am going to sit back and enjoy every minute. That's what Joseph could have said. But thanks be to God, we have a different lesson for today. After everything Joseph went through, God still was able to guide him to see not just who God is and what God can do, but also what Joseph's role was in all of it. So instead, Joseph was able to say, "It was to save lives that God sent me." In Genesis 45, we get to the very height of the account of Joseph. If you haven't read it, or even if you have, my recommended reading for this week for you is Genesis 37 through 44. Then you can get the full picture and all the little nuances of everything that's happening here. I'll give you a summary. Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob, and because of that, his brothers hated him. Sold him into slavery to Egypt, their own brother. For 11 years, Joseph was languishing as a slave, and then eventually a most trusted servant, and then falsely accused, so down to being a prisoner. 11 years. He predicted a dream, interpreted it, it came true. The man who was released in prison forgot about Joseph. Back down. 2 years later, so now 13 years, he was given a chance to interpret Pharaoh's dream. Sure enough, he did. Said there would be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. So Pharaoh, get yourself ready. Pharaoh said, "You sound like just the man to do that." So Pharaoh made him the second in command of all of Egypt. That's quite the roller coaster ride, and that's quite the rags to riches story. But it certainly wasn't without its pain and agony. Altogether, before we get to Genesis 45, it's been 22 years of pain and agony for Joseph, wondering why his brothers did that, how they could possibly do that to their own brother. Imagine all of the anger and resentment that Joseph could have felt. Sure enough, 7 years of plenty, followed by now 2 years of famine. Everyone goes to Egypt to buy food because of Joseph's guidance. They have plenty. And lo and behold, who strolls into Egypt but the very same brothers who sold him into slavery? If you were in Joseph's shoes, what would you do? "Ah-ha! I am Joseph, the brother you sold into slavery. Now look, I am in command of all of Egypt. I am going to let you have it now. You are going to be punished for what you did, and you are going to rot, and I'm going to sit back and enjoy every minute of it." You know, we laugh and we kind of smile at that prospect, and yet you and I go through maybe a fraction of the agony that Joseph did with those who do wrong to us or our enemies. And that's how we can feel sometimes. We can even think those things. When it comes to all of our so-called enemies, we can hold on to that anger and that resentment that kind of eats us up inside. We can think to ourselves, I'm not going to forgive them. They don't deserve it. We can even take delight in getting revenge on our enemies. Or at least when they get what's coming to them and something bad happens to them. Whoever it is, sadly we do that. And who are our enemies? We do a pretty good job of developing enemies, a good variety of them. We're Christians, so naturally people who are opposed to the cross of Christ and the gospel message become our enemies. But we also make long-term enemies when we hold grudges a long time. We make short-term enemies, momentary enemies, maybe when someone cuts us off on the road, or when someone's mean to us, or when somebody hurts us in some way, real suddenly. We can have enemies who are total strangers or enemies who are part of our own household. We can have enemies who are unbelieving enemies. We can have enemies who are fellow Christian brothers and sisters, maybe even members of the same congregation. We make a lot of enemies, and whoever they are, sadly, there are so many times when we forget the command of Jesus. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. pray for those who mistreat you. Instead, we return the hatred. We return the cursing, the mistreatment. We can even be joyful and justified in doing it. I hate you. You ruined my life. You are evil. You are selfish. You wronged me. Now you deserve to be punished and to rot, and I'm going to sit back and enjoy every minute. When we feel those things and think those things, we're failing to recognize something about who God is and what he does. We're also failing to recognize our role in helping God do what he does. After 22 years of day-to-day agony, wondering why his brothers could do that to him, God was able to guide Joseph to see exactly those things. And it wasn't easy. It was pretty emotional for Joseph first seeing his brothers. In fact, he tests them a few times just to see, are they still filled with that jealousy and that hatred? But what he sees is actually that they have changed. God was able to change their hearts. Now instead of hatred and jealousy, they're actually filled with remorse over what they did. They're actually self-sacrificing. God obviously changed something in their hearts. And Joseph recognized that God is able to do that. And if God is able to give forgiveness and repentance to these brothers, then who was Joseph to get in the way of that? So Joseph, finally, overcome by it. He couldn't hold it in any longer. He tells everyone in his presence to get out of his presence except for his brothers. He even tells all the interpreters to get out of there, the ones that he had been speaking through up to that point. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. You imagine being one of the brothers? For 22 years, you thought your brother Joseph was dead, or at least some slave somewhere else. And now this man who is in charge of all of Egypt says that he is Joseph in your own language. He calls your father his father. It couldn't be Joseph. It had better not be Joseph. Because if it is, they knew they were in trouble. They knew what they did was evil, and they knew what they deserved. So what could they do but just stand there frozen in terror? Joseph senses this. And he said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt." Only Joseph could know that. And instead of taking the revenge out on them, instead of thinking of himself, instead of thinking, "I am going to pay them back," Joseph says, "Come close to me." How was he able to do that? He was making his actions speak louder than his words. What was he saying with his actions and his words? "I forgive you." How was he able to do that? 22 years of pain and everything that he went through. It's because Joseph knew his God. And he knew his Savior. He maybe didn't know him like we know him. We call him Jesus. Joseph, back then, just called him the offspring, the one who was to come. But he knew the promise. He knew that through his great-granddad, Abraham, and then through his granddad, Isaac, and then through his dad, Jacob, this promise of the Savior was going to come to fruition. All nations on earth would be blessed through their family line. And he knew why. He knew the history. There's more reading for you. Read the first 36 chapters of Genesis. He knew quite well, Joseph did, that you and I, when we come into this world, are sadly enemies of God. All thanks to what Adam and Eve did. They required that promise. So he was looking forward to someone who would come, and sure enough he did. Where God would look at him instead of all of us and say, "I hate you. You wronged me. You were evil. You were selfish. You ruined everything. Now I'm going to sit back and I'm going to punish you. And you're going to rot. And when Jesus came and he took that upon himself, it wasn't just 13 years of agony or 22 years of agony. It was an eternity of agony that he took upon himself for each and every man, woman, and child this world has ever seen. That includes you and me. That includes all of our enemies. Joseph knew that. He knew that forgiveness, that while we were still sinners, Christ would die for us. But Joseph didn't just recognize that. He also recognized his role in bringing that forgiveness even to his enemies. Just look at what he says next. Now, as I read this, I want you to pay attention. Where is Joseph's focus in all of this? Okay, and how does he see himself in relationship to God and to his enemies, his brothers? It says, "Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God." Where was Joseph's focus? It wasn't on himself. It wasn't on that revenge, that anger and resentment. It was simply on his brothers, his enemies. And it was their good that he had in mind. And he actually recognized that he had a position, a role, in bringing that good to them. Isn't that unfathomable? Joseph was actually doing all of this to help save the people who put him in this situation. And yet Joseph recognized this as glorious and humbling, because he knew the bigger picture too. He knew the great deliverance that was to come through the Savior, that would come through their family, that nation of Israel. Joseph was going to help bring salvation to all people. Now you and I don't help bring salvation to all people. It's already been done. Jesus came and paid for it. But it's no less humbling to think that we can help bring salvation to someone else, especially to our enemies. If you think about all these contentious situations that we get into and this hostility that we have in some of these relationships, really, these are prime opportunities for us to show God's forgiveness and his love. Perhaps you're in that situation and God has allowed that to happen so that you can too say, "It was to save lives that God sent me." Maybe the person who is your enemy will come to know their Savior. Maybe they already know that, and by you forgiving them, they're able to come closer to that Savior. Or maybe they can have a closer relationship with you and you can continue to let your light shine. Or maybe it's for you, so that you can remember what God has done for you, or maybe all of it. But these are just prime opportunities for God to do what he does. Bring forgiveness. And we can have a role in that. That means that that long-held grudge that you have with an old friend is actually a really good opportunity for you to show God's forgiveness and reconciliation. That means that that momentary enemy that you make is a really good opportunity for you to show God's patience and love. That means that that spat that you had with your spouse or with your kids is actually a really good opportunity now to show them forgiveness and to grow closer together as a family. That person where you hear their voice and it just makes you cringe a little bit because you know that they don't like you or you don't like them, now instead it can cause you to perk up. Like, oh, this is another opportunity to show God's grace. These are all opportunities for us. And this is where God puts us in these positions. We can now say, "I was sent by God to save lives." That's humbling. And if you think that God couldn't possibly fix whatever relationship that you have, well, then just take a look at what happens here. If you go to Genesis 37 and you see that how brothers were all jealous of him. It says they hated Joseph and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph then too had 22 years of pain and agony, but now hereafter he reveals himself. It says, Joseph kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him. Forgiveness. Reconciliation. Hearts changed. Lives saved. God is glorified. And all because God can work through situations that have enemies. Now, there might not be reconciliation, okay? There might be times when their enemies just throw your forgiveness out the window. They still treat you and act as if you are their enemy. Some of the hardest times can be when you have to be loving and forgiving to someone and you just are never going to get to see the fruit of it. But it isn't our role to bring forth the fruit. Our role is to be facilitator. We get to love and forgive just as God forgave. And guess who takes it from there? God takes it from there. And he's got a pretty good track record when it comes to working through situations where there's enemies involved. You got this situation, follow this to the next book, Exodus with Egypt. Follow pretty much the entire history of the nation of Israel. Follow Jesus to Jerusalem and what happened eventually on that day that he died. Follow that 50 days later at Pentecost with those enemies that crucified him. Follow it all the way to the early church with the Roman Empire and what happened, and follow it all the way up until what God has done in your heart. God can work wonders even through situations that have enemies. He proves it. So when we recognize all of that, what God can do, and we recognize our role in it, really when we hear that command of love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, it seems a little easier, doesn't it? Especially because you know that there's a great purpose behind it. It's humbling to think that we too get to say it was to save lives that God sent me, even to my enemy. Amen. Please stand. May that forgiveness that comes from God guard your hearts and minds and guide you as you show that love and forgiveness to others. Amen. Now take a moment, stretch a little bit. Reach up. When you're ready, you can sit down for the offering.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone.
We continue by praying to our gracious Father with the words of the prayer of the church, which we speak responsibly on page 10. We pray. Lord of heaven and earth, you made all things beautiful. You have provided green forests and refreshing streams. You have arranged the orderly procession of day and night for our work and rest.
Thank you for the mountains and the rivers, the roaring sea and the gentle breeze.
Thank you for roofs that shelter us, for clothing that protects us, and for food and drink. Thank you for our work, for projects that are done well, for the approval of supervisors and teachers. Thank you for all who serve at night to make our days more pleasant.
Thank you for our associates at work, for their encouragement and praise, and for the joys of human friendships.
Thank you for our cities and our countrysides, for farms and factories, for streets and highways, and for all of life that flows so swiftly before us.
Thank you for children at play, their boundless energy, and their shouts of joy and laughter.
Thank you for the morning greetings we receive, and for all the smiles that come from faces loved by you.
Thank you for Christian parents, for their affection and their care.
Hear us, Lord, as we give thanks for personal blessings. Lord, we thank you on behalf of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Continue to shower them with your blessings and give them many more years to your glory. We also thank you for your care over Paul Baker, who is undergoing surgery this week, as well as Bill Bass, Jeannie Schmidt, and Stan Kuhlman. Guide them and their doctors, bless their recovery, comfort them with the hope of the resurrection, and sustain them with the knowledge that you will never leave them nor forsake them. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his coming to us in word and sacraments, for his giving and forgiving, and for listening to our prayers. Receive our gifts and offerings as our sacrifice of praise.
Lead us in thankful living today and always.
Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the next hymn. Please note that the soloist will sing verse 1, but there will also be an interlude or a pause in between verses 2 and 3. So just follow the soloist's lead.
Thank you.
Please stand for prayer and the blessing. We pray. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus make us strong to do his will. May the peace of the Lord Jesus fill our lives. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn. Please also note the instructions are very similar. The soloist will sing verses 1 and 2. There will be a brief pause or interlude between verses 2 and 3, and the congregation joins in.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm Greg Peacewell, principal of the school.
And it's my privilege to share some announcements with you this morning. First of all, I'd like to thank the musicians for beautifying our service. That was just not very nice. Thank you. And welcome to all of you, and also to any visitors or guests who are here. We invite you to come back and worship with us again. I have some announcements, and then after the announcements, there will be some slides set to music, and they'll mostly relate to activities that have been going on at school in the last couple of months, in January and February. To the other announcements. First of all, a lot of these announcements have to do with the coming month of March, and you'll find them on the church calendar, and you'll also find them highlighted in the weekly news. I'll just mention some of them. There's a Jesus Cares meeting, and that is in the chapel after this service is over. If your portrait was taken by Life Touch, so that we could be using that for our church directory, then those portraits are here, and they're in the entryway back where the refreshments were served. So you can pick that up. Ash Wednesday is coming, the first Wednesday of March. That would be about a week and a half from now, is Ash Wednesday, March 6th. Then we have worship services here, of course, and also a fellowship supper in the gymnasium at 5:30. So you're invited to that. There's a movie night coming up on Saturday, March the 9th at 6 p.m., and also a school-related function, the PAWS Family Game Night. And of course, anybody else is welcome to come and join us for that PAWS Family Game Night, and that's on Friday, March 15th at 6 p.m. In March also, the concert choir from Lakeside Lutheran High School in Lake Mills, Wisconsin, they're going to be doing a Western tour, and they'll be singing for our Lent service on Wednesday, the 20th of March. We still need some hosts because we're putting those choir members in homes for that evening, and we need some hosts. If anybody's interested in helping out and serving as a host family for those choir members, contact Pastor Colander. There are volunteer positions that you are encouraged to consider. If you look at the back side of the weekly news update, you'll see some of the opportunities that are available. A couple of other things related to school. It was on Tuesday, February the 12th, that we issued another call for a 7th and 8th grade teacher, and the person who received that call is Mr. Darren Vogt. Mr. Vogt teaches 6th grade at East Fork Lutheran School in Arizona right now, and he's received that call and has acknowledged it and is considering whether the Lord wants him to continue serving in Arizona or come to St. Mark's and work with us. Please keep Mr. Vogt and his wife Ruth in your prayers. Basketball season at school is wrapping up. I just want to announce something related to that, two things actually. The boys basketball team played in a tournament last weekend, and they were able to come home with the championship trophy from that, and that was at California Lutheran High School. So congratulations to our boys' 7th and 8th grade team. And the girls have one more week of practice and games. They wrap up their season this next weekend in a tournament. So long season, a lot of successes, a lot of challenges during that season that's coming to an end. Now we ask you to stick around and enjoy the slides from the school activities in January and February. God bless your week.